So our scripture reading this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. Very familiar passage to us, part of the Christmas story in the Gospel of Luke. Chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." This is the word of God for the people of God. So this is a personal question this morning to get things started. Have you ever had the wind knocked out of you? You know, I remember the first time that that happened to me. I was 12 years old, and my dad and I were doing some things around the house. He sent me into the laundry room to get something off the shelf that was above the washing machine. Well, I couldn't reach it, and so being a normal 12-year-old, I climbed up on top of the washing machine so I could get what was on the shelf that my dad wanted. Well, while I was doing that, little did I know, Dad came right in behind me, and he saw me up on the washing machine reaching for something, and he thought it would be funny if he tased me while I was up there. And so he did. He just kind of took his two fingers and poked in my sides. Well, it startled me. I jumped and lost my balance, and I fell off the washing machine. Now, the good news is that Mom was doing some laundry at that time, so there were piles of laundry all over the floor around the washing machine, and that broke my fall, which kept me from completely breaking my arm, but I did fracture my right wrist. And so, moral of the story, two parts. Part A is don't climb up on washing machines to grab something on the shelf above the washing machine. And part B, dads, don't tase your kids when they're on top of the washing machine. So I did have a fractured right wrist. I'm right-handed. That was awkward for a couple of weeks as it got better. But the worst thing that happened was I had the wind knocked out of me. And that's the first time that ever happened in my life. I'd never experienced that before. And so I'm down there on the floor, and I don't care about my wrist. I can't breathe. And my dad looks at me, and obviously he saw the panic in my eyes. And he said, "Don't worry. You just had the wind knocked out of you." And I'm thinking, what do you mean, just had the wind knocked out of me? Don't you need to breathe? I think I need to breathe, and I can't breathe right now, and there's nothing that I can do to make myself breathe. He said, "It'll come back. Just give it a few moments." Well, it seemed like about an hour, but it was just a few moments, and then I caught my breath, and I stayed alive. So that wasn't the last time I've ever had the wind knocked out of me. It happened several times since then, but each time that it happened again, I didn't panic because I knew what was going to happen. I knew if I just waited, my breath would come back. That temporary paralysis of the diaphragm, which keeps us from taking a breath, is very scary. And what's amazing, though, is the body's ability then to recover and automatically overcome that temporary paralysis and get us back to breathing. I share that with you because sometimes in life, some things happen to take our emotional breath away. Sometimes it feels like somebody's knocked the wind out of our life. Sometimes we use that phrase called pulled the rug out from underneath us. You know that phrase? Yeah, sometimes things in life happen like that. And I think maybe this year with COVID, the whole world feels like the rug's been pulled out from under us. I saw a cute door that was decorated for Christmas this past week. They had a door decorating competition. And this is the door that won. It had a picture of the Grinch, big full-size picture of the Grinch on the door. And then the Grinch was holding a sign that said 2020. Stink, stank, stunk. I think that sums it all up for us all. So trouble, hardship, heartache, all that can happen to us, and it feels like we can't breathe emotionally. And we become discouraged, we become sad, happiness fades into the shadows. And so what do? Because there's no automatic reset of the happiness button in our life. It doesn't just automatically happen. And one of the problems associated with this kind of emotional or lack of emotional refreshment is, I think, how much emphasis we place on being happy. Because there's so much, I won't say pressure, but there's so much cultural expectation that happiness is really what life is all about. And because of that pressure, because of that expectation, when we do get the wind knocked out of us emotionally, and it does happen, then we feel doubly, triply sad because of how much it's out there that should be part of our life. I saw a news report on television, and it was a reporter asking people, what would make you really happy this Christmas? And so there were several people interviewed and several answers given. Of course, the very first one and probably the number one reason is people said, well, if my family stays happy and no one contracts the COVID virus, that would make me happy this Christmas season. But the other said, well, if I win the Powerball lottery, that would make me happy this season. If I lose 10 pounds, that would make me happy this Christmas season. If there's good weather and I'm not stuck in traffic and there's no delays at the airport, that would make me happy this season. And this is the one that really harmonized with me. This is the one that just kind of, yeah, I'm there. This is what I would say. This person answered, you know, if all the Christmas lights that I put up would work all the time, I would be very happy this Christmas season. Well, I listened to their responses, and then I thought, you know, what if none of those things came true for people? In fact, what if just the opposite happened? What if in these weeks before December 25th, several members of your family get ill, sick? What if you come down with COVID or some other sickness? What if instead of winning the lottery, you lose your wallet, you lose your purse, somebody steals your money? What if you gain more than 10 pounds instead of lose 10 pounds at Christmas? What if bad weather ruins your trip, cancels your plans? What if instead of a few Christmas lights going out here and there, your Christmas decorations are stolen? What if those kinds of things happen? Then what happens to "it's the most wonderful time of the year" feeling in your heart? What happens to that good cheer? If you get the Christmas cheer knocked out of you, is there a way to get it back? Well, the answer to that for us is yes. In spite of the bad news that can happen in life, and often does, none of us are exempt, God has delivered some good news. God has a remedy to restore that emotional breathing, that refreshment that comes to our soul. He has a remedy to restore that when we've had the wind knocked out of us. And that cure that God has for us is called joy. In Luke chapter 2, verse 10, that passage that we read where the angels visit the shepherds and they have something to say to the shepherds, the angel says to the shepherds, "I bring you good news of great joy." After the angel said, "Don't be afraid," because the angel saw that the shepherds were just terrified. They were scared out of their sandals. After the angel says, "Don't be afraid," the angel says, I bring you good news, which will be great joy to you. He didn't say, I bring you good news that'll make everybody happy. You know, that's not what the angel said. The angel said, I bring you good news of a great joy. See, joy is not the same thing as happiness. Happiness happens. I mean, when there's no pain or suffering or trouble or heartache or problems, that's when happiness surrounds us. It's a feeling based on our circumstances. That's what happiness is. Happiness happens. In contrast to that, joy exists in the presence of pain and suffering and trouble and heartache and problems. In fact, that's the only time that it really shows up. When we have the wind knocked out of us and yet we can still breathe, we can still have emotional, spiritual refreshment, that's joy. So happiness happens, but joy exists in Jesus. And that's what the angels knew. I bring you good news of great joy, and without taking a breath, the angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, who is Christ the Lord. So right after the word great joy, right after that phrase, the angel said, it's due to this coming of the Messiah, of Jesus. Happiness happens, but joy is in Jesus. You with me on that? Repeat after me. Happiness happens, but joy is in Jesus. Let's do it again. Happiness happens, but joy is in Jesus. Sounds like a rap. Boom, 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 boom. Happiness happens. Boom, 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 boom. Joy is in Jesus. Somebody should wait. Now, don't go home and tell Hank that when he said, what'd you learn in church today? He said, we learned to rap. Yeah. Yeah. Happiness happens, but joy is in Jesus. Somebody ought to make it a rap. Not me. So we get it wrong around Christmas time when we think about what puts joy in our lives. Because we think of happiness oftentimes. We think of the good stories. And there are a lot of feel-good stories out there. You know, a lot of people trying to do a lot of good for others. Toys for Tots, putting toys into the hands of underprivileged kids. That brings a smile to our face. Homeless shelters trying to make more room for persons on cold and snowy nights that they can get out of the weather and have a warm bed to sleep in. Hungry families being served by churches and other organizations all around the community, trying to provide food for those who might not have as much. I saw a story the other day, a man who walked through town at Christmas time giving away $100 bills. He had a pocket full of $100 bills, and he just would randomly give $100 bills away to people because it was Christmas. That was his gift to the community. And those things put smiles on our face. We know those stories are out there. And it's all good, but that's not what puts joy in our hearts. Because any feel-good story we hear in this world will be far outweighed by the bad news that comes as well. There's only one message, only one news item that plants joy in us, and that is what the angel said. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Paul picked up on that in Romans chapter 14, verse 17. He said, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating Christmas cookies and drinking eggnog. Well, he didn't put it exactly like that, but he said, it's not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is about. Righteousness, peace, and joy. He included joy in that. See, joy is a product of the Spirit in us, the presence of God, not in the manger, but in our hearts. Joy is a product of the Spirit within us. It's like love and peace and patience and kindness and goodness. Any of those things sound familiar? From Galatians chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit. Paul lists love first, but what's second? Joy. Love, joy, peace, patience. All things that come from the Spirit of God in us and shaping us to be Christ-like. Now, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. He works to line our thinking, line our behavior, line our character up with Christ's thinking and Christ's character and Christ's relationships with others. And so it's an inner quality that needs to be cultivated. The seed is planted by God's Spirit in us, but we need to cooperate with God to make it bear fruit, to make it come to fruition in our life. And so we need that discipline, or there should be a better word. We need to be intentional about doing the things that help joy grow in our life. It's already there. The Holy Spirit brings with him in our hearts those aspects of the fruit of a holy life. And joy is one. So it's already there, the seed is. But how does it grow? How does joy grow in us? Well, there's basically three steps that we take, three ways that it happens. And the first one is this whole idea about knowing God, just understanding who God is, what he's all about, what his plan is for our life. And there's nothing secretive about God, about his plan for you. God has an amazing plan for your life. It includes eternal, abundant life. It includes forgiveness. It includes salvation. It includes his presence with us and within us. It includes heaven. God has an amazing plan for your life, and he wants you to know that. He wants you to understand that. He wants you to understand him and his truth and know his will. And knowing that a Savior has been born, knowing that about God's plan, a Savior has been born to you, a gift given to you, knowing that about God's plan puts joy in our life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. Yeah. Jesus said this in John chapter 15, 11, I have told you these things. Okay, so what has come out of Jesus' mouth, his word, I have told you these things, so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be full or complete. My word has come to you so that your joy, the joy that's in you, can grow, blossom, be full, complete. It's a great place in the Old Testament that picks up on how important that word of God is to our joy. It happened in Nehemiah. And you know the story of Nehemiah. He was part of those who came back from the exile in Babylon, and was given permission by the king, Cyrus, to return to Jerusalem and build the walls back up around Jerusalem, because Babylon had completely destroyed Jerusalem, just leveled it to the ground. But after 70 years of captivity, the Israelites were allowed to go back to Jerusalem. That never happened, by the way, in the ancient world. When your town was captured and destroyed, nobody ever went back to it. But God made it happen. God brought his people back to his city, Jerusalem. And Nehemiah was in charge of building the walls up, defining the city, establishing it once again. And there's a beautiful thing that happens. They, in going through the ruins of the city and building it back up, they find a book of the law. They find the Bible, in other words. They found something that they hadn't had amongst them in their midst for forever. And it was so refreshing to hear the word of God, the law, read again, words of Genesis, words of Exodus, words of Leviticus, words that Moses had preached and spoken. God's word was preached. And not only was it preached and read, but it was also explained. So this is what it means. And there was a great celebration because of finding that book of the law and its reading, and people were just so excited to hear it again and respond to it and get that understanding, that knowledge about God. That's what we're talking about. So much so that they took a break from their work and they said, everybody go to your own homes and have a block party. Just bring out all the food, all the drink you can. Have a party because we found the word of the Lord. We're listening to the word of the Lord and it's putting joy in our heart. And that's where in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10 comes this famous verse where Nehemiah says, and the joy of the Lord will be your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And it all came because they discovered God's word once again. And so that understanding, that getting to know God, not just know about him, but know him, know his truth, know him in a relationship, know him, understand him. That's one of the first ways that joy comes to us. But it also comes to us in his presence with us. You know, but we believe God not only wants us to know about him, but wants to know us to know him personally, build a relationship with him. You know, the shepherds heard the good news, unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And you know what they did? When the angel left, let's go. We can't wait to see this. Let's go see this baby that's in Bethlehem. And so they ran off. I don't know what happened to the sheep. If all the shepherds took off, that's something that Luke doesn't tell us. But they couldn't wait to be in the presence of this newborn Savior. Same with the wise men. The wise men studied the heavens. They saw a star. They correlated that star with something that they knew about the scriptures and this special event that was supposed to happen, a miracle from God, and so they followed the star. They couldn't wait to get on the road. They left their families behind. They were kings. They left their kingdom behind. You know, they left behind all their what was familiar to them, and they traveled for miles and miles and miles, days and days, months and months they traveled to follow the star. They couldn't wait to be in the presence of the king. They didn't get it exactly right because they ended up in Jerusalem and said, where's that baby born to be king? And everybody said, what baby? And so they had to study it a little bit more. Bethlehem and Jerusalem aren't very far apart, so it's easy to see if a star was way up there that you could accidentally get to the wrong place. But they found out it was Bethlehem, so they went to Bethlehem. They couldn't wait to be with this newborn king. Jesus took on human flesh. Not so much so that God could be with us. God's always with us. From day one, God is with us. God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. He was with them. That's not the problem. Jesus became flesh and blood so that we could be with him, so that we could get to know him, so that we could move into his presence. And joy is a result of abiding in the presence of God. I have a little plaque that sits on my bookcase, and it says, joy is not the absence of suffering, but the presence of God. And I've had that for years and years and years. And so just a good reminder of how we cultivate not happiness, but joy in our soul. God made a way for us to be in his presence, to be together with him. And that way is through that baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. I think it's kind of interesting that before Jesus was born, Mary visited her kinswoman, Elizabeth. Now, some think she was a cousin or a second cousin. We're not really sure the connection, but the Bible does say she was a relative. And so Elizabeth was already pregnant, six months pregnant, and Mary goes and visits Elizabeth with the news that she'd been visited by an angel, and that she was going to have this baby. And when Elizabeth heard the news that Mary was expecting, the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 44, that the baby inside Elizabeth, John the Baptist, leaped for joy. Leaped for joy. Now, I've felt babies kicking before, and that's pretty amazing. But John the Baptist leaped for joy. What does that mean? That a baby inside its mother leaped for joy. I don't know, but it's part of the Christmas story. There's joy even before Jesus is born because of the presence of God. So understanding God or knowing Him, being present with Him, being with God, and finally, another thing that helps cultivate the joy within us is that anticipation or that expecting to see God. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that the angels have talked about. The wise men expecting to see the Messiah. Well, they went to Jerusalem, but they didn't stop there. Let's go to Bethlehem. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. We know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. There's going to be a time that we look forward to seeing, not the baby in the manger, but the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ, when He returns in all His glory. Jude verses 24 and 25, He is able to keep you from falling and to present you before His glorious presence at that time, you know that He comes again, before His glorious presence without fault, you'll be presented without fault. And when you see Him, the verse also says, and with great joy. He is able to keep you from falling, to present you before His glorious presence without fault and with great joy. The Bible reveals that there's an expectation about seeing Christ that puts joy in our heart. You know, the night before Christmas is full of anticipation, especially by little kids. I remember having a hard time falling to sleep on Christmas Eve, just excited. I remember laying awake and listening really hard for hoof prints on the roof, just excited about this visitation from this man who was going to bring gifts, toys for us. And I know it's not exactly the same, but it's real similar to this anticipation, this excitement about getting to see our Savior and our Lord face to face. That looking forward to seeing God face to face puts joy in our hearts. Happiness happens. It shows up when you expect it. It shows up when you see dear ones, loved ones. It shows up when you enjoy the decorations that are all around. It shows up when you're opening presents. Happiness shows up when you're eating pie. That's when we expect it to. Joy shows up as a surprise. And usually, when nothing good's happening, happiness happens, but joy is in Jesus. I don't know if you saw this in the news, but back this summer, middle of August, in a town called Olten, Switzerland, about 45 miles east of Zurich, is the headquarters and a huge factory of the Lindt company, L-I-N-D-T. Lindt and Lindor are some of the world's greatest confectioners in the world. Maybe you've seen their commercials or had some of their wonderful chocolate products, Lindt chocolate. Well, it seems that the factory in Olton had a mechanical problem. Early that morning, Friday, August the 14th, their system of exhaust from the factory malfunctioned. And it sent out into the atmosphere this, for quite a while, this huge amount of chocolate dust into the air. And people woke up on that Friday morning and their roofs were covered with chocolate. Their cars were covered with chocolate. Their yards were covered with chocolate. And they felt like it had snowed chocolate snow. And they took to Twitter and they were just tweeting about it and how wonderful this is. It snowed chocolate last night. Somebody tweeted a wonderful little verse called, I'm dreaming of a dark chocolate Christmas. It just made the most of that. But one person captured it for everybody, said, in the midst of this pandemic year when things have been so tough, we get this wonderful little miracle of chocolate snow that brings joy to our lives. What happens on Christmas is that this wonderful gift of life in God's only Son, our Savior, has been given to us to bring some chocolate snow into our soul, to bring some joy that is able to give us strength, even amidst a pandemic, even amidst the toughest and most difficult times and trials and troubles in our life, there is still this chocolate snow that covers our soul in Jesus Christ. Get it? Good. Let's pray together. Holy and loving God, we are blessed to be your children, to be called your people. We thank you once again for the good news of your love for us in Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have this amazing life, this amazing love, this amazing grace, wrapped up in a wonderful present that we celebrate this time of year. May our celebrations not only be about smiling and not only be about enjoyment, not only be about happiness. May our celebrations over the next few weeks be reflective of the joy that we have in Jesus. That's our prayer. In his name. Amen.